The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
Fuel.
Nominal.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Nominal.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came, into logbook.com's escape pod. The logbook.com's escape pod is once again in orbit, observing the futuristic, the fantastic, and the formative moments in geek history. I'm Earl Green, and it's time once again to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1967, the score at the end of the opening teaser of Star Trek was Klingons 1.
Klingon! Grant, no!
Red Shirts 0, as the episode Friday's Child premiered, guest starring Julie Newmar. In 1971, it was a sound unlike anything anyone had heard before.
And now, a new sound, a new concept, something you've heard about and probably read about, is the brainchild of Roy Wood of The Move. It's a nine-piece outfit that he calls the Electric Light Orchestra. The Electric Light Orchestra is formed around a string quartet, plus some woodwind, keyboards, and rhythm, with Roy himself playing about half a dozen instruments. At the end of last year, they issued an album, and one item on it was the one that we're going to hear now live, 10538 Overture.
As the first Electric Light Orchestra album made its debut in the UK. When it was released the following year in the United States, a record executive placed a call to double-check the album's name and misinterpreted the reply, so the album was titled No Answer in America. In 1976, Midway jumped on the 3D racing game bandwagon, releasing Datsun 280 Zap to arcades everywhere, the first video game product placement. The same day in 1976, the kooky and slightly kinky UK-German sci-fi series Star Maidens aired its 13th and final episode.
Is it true? The exchange is going ahead?
Yes. The authorities insist.
So Shem and I are the sacrifice.
I don't really mind.
We have been asked to clear Earth's atmosphere within the next 6 hours. You must be ready to go.
In 1999, Star Trek Voyager needed a little bit of help from one of Star Trek's previous generations.
Excuse me,
Admiral Paris.
Lieutenant Barclay. I'm sorry, Commander. It's just that there may be a way to establish two-way communication with Voyager.
Now is not the time.
It's all right, Mr. Harkins. Let the man speak. I'm all ears, son.
Well, you see, there's a Class B itinerant pulsar. Well, as you probably know, sir, neutrino emissions, what I mean to say is that with the ray, we could open an artificial, singularity.
A wormhole.
Yes, sir. We could use it as a conduit to talk to Voyager.
I can't give you high marks for clarity, Lieutenant, but you've certainly got my attention.
And in 2010, the live-action big-screen remake of Space Battleship Yamato premiered in Japan, retelling the story for a new generation. Born on this day in 1956, Julie Cruz, the voice of the theme song from Twin Peaks. Nestor Carbonell, who played the mysterious Richard Alpert in Lost, was born in 1967. Comedian Sarah Silverman was born today in 1970. One of her earliest TV roles was in Future's End, a two-episode Star Trek Voyager epic. Comic artist Russ Manning died on this day in 1981. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. The book Vorp 1 is available now at thelogbook.com's 396-page guide to Doctor Who on TV from 1963 through 2011, cross-referencing old episodes and new, and catching you up on the mythology of the longest-running science fiction series in TV history. You can pick up other original books and DVDs and hundreds of other titles in thelogbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Escape pod was created and produced by Earl Kane.